All right, Lord willing, let's get back into chapter 7 of Hebrews. And again, this chapter 7 is the continuance of the great high priest Melchizedek, as that we see in Christ. And before we begin tonight, I would just like to touch on the 7 points. And there's many others, but there's 7 main points that are brought out in the scriptures through the 7th chapter of the superiority of the Melchizedek's or Christ's priesthood as opposed to that of the Levites or Aaron's priesthood. It was perfection that could not come by the Levitical priesthood, as we talked about last week. And the reasons were Aaron's was subject to change. It was limited by years, and it was limited by death. And it was passed from father to son, as opposed to Christ, as we studied last week, which is unchangeable. Again, Jesus the same yesterday, today, and forever. And in this world, consistency to me means so much. I was thinking of that. Everything's so inconsistent anymore. People are so inconsistent. You can't count on anything. And I'm thankful for that. Because I think as the world goes on and life proceeds, and this world, as our pastor said many times, is on that toboggan slide, there is a consistency, there is a rock, and that is our Jesus. Hallelujah. Aaron's was after the flesh. It couldn't help us. It couldn't help him. But Christ was spiritual and after an endless life. Aaron's, again, was 20 years limited. Christ was unending. Aaron's was imperfect, weak, and infirm. Christ is all-powerful. Aaron was without oath, but Christ was confirmed by God. And as you think about that, there isn't anything else that could confirm you any better than God. It was just as some people were asking me that didn't know too much. I've had so many questions about seminaries and different things like that. And I've been actually able to give them my our pastor's Brush College joke. But, you know, because I tell them, you know, where'd you go to school? I said Brush. And the after that was, I said out in the sticks. It used to, I think, be funnier when he would tell it. But they kind of look at me like I'm on some, well, never mind that. But just how precious the Lord is, how another one had asked me, well, you know, how'd you get ordained? You know, that was awful fast. And I said, well, yeah. You know, I guess you get ordained, you know, I had brothers pray for me and all that. But, you know, more importantly, it wasn't anybody's hands. It wasn't anybody's oil. It wasn't anybody's anything. It's God. And God's going to put in place where we need to be in the body. Isn't that a wonderful comfort? To know that He doesn't just do it well. He does it perfect. He doesn't make mistakes. As we've been reading here, He doesn't lie. He'll not forsake us. No matter what we see or how indifferent it may be, how impossible it may seem as well too. He'll never leave us nor forsake us. And He'll complete that work, that good work that He's begun in our lives. Hallelujah. Trust Him for it. Don't ever trust yourself. And then on the other hand, don't get down on yourself either. Because that's right where the enemy would like you to be. Just realize it's in Him. Hallelujah. Aaron's was succeeded by others. Christ had no successor. Aaron was sinful in himself. And our wonderful Lord and Savior Jesus Christ had no sin. Let's start reading, I believe, from the 11th verse. We'll pick it up there of the 7th chapter, and then we'll start the study again of commentary and the 17th verse. So again, the 7th chapter, the 11th verse. If therefore perfection were by the Levitical priesthood, for under it the people received the law, what further need was there that another priest should rise after the order of Melchizedek and not be called after the order of Aaron? Again, if it wasn't broke, why would it need a fix? There was something wrong. It wasn't complete. For the priesthood being changed, there is made a necessity, a change also of the law. And by His grace, that's what He brought, was grace. We are under the gospel of grace. Hallelujah, that we do have that freedom. I can't imagine thinking, and how awesome to think, well, I'm under this law. But yet, the majority of Christianity thinks that way today. It's true. That there is something that needs to be merited or achieved by something that we can do. And there's no freedom in that. And again, that God would come in and speak to us that it is by grace all the way to the throne. And it's more grace as we go on. I think you understand that. Because I think as you really go on in Christ, you start to see how weak you are. and how fallible you are. Completely without. Amen. He is our sufficiency. 12. For the priesthood being changed, there is a made of the necessity of change also of the law. For he of whom these things are spoken pertaineth to another tribe, of which no man gave attendance at the altar. Again, that was the Levites that it's talking about there. They were the priestly tribe. For it is evident that our Lord sprang out of Judah, of which tribe Moses spake nothing concerning priesthood. And it is yet far more evident, for that after the similitude of Melchizedek, there ariseth another priest, hallelujah, who is made not after the law of a carnal commandment, not after the law, but after the power of an endless life. Hallelujah. For he testifieth, thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. For there is verily a disannulling, which is a setting aside of the commandment going before, for the weakness and profitableness thereof. Again, the priesthood did not work. We'll examine the 17th and 18th verse now. This again is Psalms 110:4, and it's just such a precious affirmation every time we begin into this. If you just go to Psalm 110:4, and I think that's such a precious verse to mark, underscore, to always refer back to when we're in these scriptures, especially referring to Melchizedek and his great priesthood in Hebrews. But it says, the Lord hath sworn and will not repent. Never go back on it. It is his word. It's his oath. Thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. God said it. Thinking in my life, how many people try to, as they say, kick against the pricks. The man that we were dealing with yesterday. So sad. Realization that it's by faith. But yet the comment was, which I could understand somewhat. Well, God is so infinite. He's so omniscient. Why would he have anything to do with us? Well, he does. And it's not anything to do with us. Everything is in us. Creation groans for the manifestation of the sons of God. That's all things created. Everything, the universe. If it wasn't that simple, we could not enter into this. If it was complex, he would be a respecter of person. If we're going to go there to say he is that, I agreed with him. I said, he is that infinite. Well, are there other people? Are there other planets? I don't know. I don't believe so, but it doesn't matter anyways. Didn't tell us. This is what we need to believe. First man, Adam. I do believe that. If there's something else, he'll show us someday. But that's not what we're after. We're after him and his love for us. The I am wants you. The I am wants us. And in a way that, again, symbolically, a type of shadow is a wonderful marriage that we have here on earth. How much more? You know, when you enter into that kind of relationship, it's precious. It should be, but it's precious. It's wonderful. It's a commitment. It's a wonderful commitment. It's sovereign. But how much more does the Lord want for us with him? Think about that. That's why it's just so hard when somebody's there, but by faith. And all we can do when somebody's in that position is to say, well, if you're looking for God, all I could tell you is he won't forsake you if you really are looking for him. If you truly are looking for God, he'll reveal himself to you. But instead of trying to meditate in my mind or trying to understand it this way or looking to someone who might be a good person in this life, I told them there's many false lights. Oh, amen. There's many false lights. But just get down on your knees and say, Lord, show yourself to me. And if it's in faith, he'll show himself to him. So pray for that man. There was a sweetness about him, and he's been on my heart, as you can see. But God said it, and it is so. It's forever. It's done. It's finished. And again, because the Levitical priesthood could not justify man's guilt. It could not sanctify the pollution of sin. And it could not cleanse the conscience from dead works. And obviously there was need for another, and that is Christ. The 19th verse. For the law made nothing perfect. Oh, I pray that we just joy in that. and grieve for the others that are still caught up into this. So many Christians I meet believe, they say believe, saved by grace. They really don't believe that part of it, the foundation laid. But then after that, they believe that the perfection comes through the walk of a law-abiding life. Did we ever read Galatians? As we talked about, oh, ye foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you? Are you now made perfect by the flesh? How much more clear to seize that it is God's work. We are His workmanship. His workmanship. Praise God for that. Thank you, Jesus. But the 19th verse again, for the law made nothing perfect, but the bringing in of a better hope did. Again, the better, the better, the better, by the which we draw nigh unto God. How much more clear does it need to be? We can go right into the Holy of Holies because of Jesus Christ. He is the mediator for us. He is our way of intercession. Hallelujah, that God, through His Son, that's how we draw. Again, the law made nothing perfect. Let's go to Galatians chapter 3. We are reconciled to Him. Praise the Lord. Chapter 3, verse 10. And we'll read through the 14th verse. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. They're cursed. They're bewitched. They're stunted. There's no growth. For it is written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. Saying, okay, if you're going to start out this way, then go for it. Remember the 10 links of chain. I'm over the precipice, right? How many links does it take to cast me into it? Just one. I looked at him and, man, I'd be in a bad way. Clink, chink. But you know what the amazing thing is that in His infinite grace, He starts actually performing that work in you. He makes you like unto Himself, doesn't He? Hallelujah. He gave you the seed just like we talked about Sunday. The new creation. It's in you. That is you. Now yield to it. And as it matures and grows up, it fulfills those things because it's His work. Praise God, we become Christ-like. That gives me such hope. Hallelujah. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God. It is evident, for the just shall live by faith. And the law is not of faith, but the man that doeth them shall live in them. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. Isn't that? Oh, you don't think you're thankful for something? Hallelujah. He became our curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Faith upon faith upon faith upon faith. But someone can take out of James, well, faith without works is dead. Because they don't understand the scriptures. That's the evidence of faith, is that working in you. How much clearer does it need to be? But see, when you're looking for that, when you're looking for bondage, when you're looking for self-merit, when you're looking for flesh, it's right there. I can see it. I can go into bondage in just a moment. But what does the Scripture say? What does the Spirit say? Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. But this is our better hope. It's Christ. The true foundation of all the hope towards God for pardon and salvation. And by and through this hope, the only hope, we draw nigh to God. We have peace with God. We have peace with God and peace within. It was just like this man again yesterday was saying, well, I know a rabbi. And the rabbi said, well, that Christ couldn't be it because He was supposed to bring peace. He did bring peace. He's the Prince of Peace. He brings peace within His children. And someday He's going to lay it out. Except I don't have to look upon His feet of brass when He's doing that. I see Him as the Lamb. Isn't that precious? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That is so of what we have in Him. I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no man comes to the Father but by me. There's one mediator between God and man, the Lord Christ Jesus. Let's turn over to Hebrews 10, verse 21 and 22. Oh, how this sings to us. And having a high priest over the house of God, and this is our high priest, let us draw near, with a true heart, in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. And I was thinking about that as reading it. Let us draw near with a true heart. It could have just ended there and I would have been so thankful and happy. True heart with faith and I would have been just thrilled. True heart with the assurance of faith and that would have been great. Oh, just mighty. But a true heart in full assurance of faith. Full assurance of faith. That's what He's after. There is a full assurance of faith. There is a good, there is an acceptable, and there is a perfect will of God. Are we standing again on the promises? And how do we get that faith? What we're doing this evening. Faith comes by hearing. Hearing by the Word of God. That's why meeting together, that's why coming together to worship the Lord, to hear the Scriptures, to be in the meeting is so vital to our lives. Not in fear of if I miss something, but really in a sadness if I miss something. That one thing that I could have pulled out or the Lord wanted to pull out in that meeting to give to my heart, to give to my life. What is that valued? What is that value to your life? Full assurance of faith. That's the peace that passes understanding. But it only comes from knowing the Word of God. You may sit here and you say, well, I don't have that. Make this yours. Have Him reveal the Scriptures to you. Rest in every single promise, knowing that this is your life. The Lord's just been giving that verse, that my mind stayed upon thee. Jesse, put your mind stayed upon me. And I'll give you perfect rest. I'll be peace to you. I don't care what's going on. It's me. It's me. It's my plan. Read my love plan to you. Amen. But he who is in Christ is free indeed. See, the former was a fleshly priest that kept man under bondage. Let's go on to the 20 through the 22nd verse. And inasmuch as not without an oath, he was made a priest. That was Aaron. For those priests were made without an oath. But this with an oath by him that was said unto him, the Lord swear and will not repent. Thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. By so much was Jesus made a surety of a better testament. Again, wonderful better. Again, he is God's word. And he is oath to us. He is promise to us. God's promise to us is Jesus. This is the gospel of Christ, full and free. A truly spiritual covenant. Not of the law. Not any part of this is of the law. Ever to make intercession for us. Ever to show us mercy and grace. Ever to love and encourage by His grace. The 23rd and 24th verse. And they truly were many priests, because they were not suffered to continue by reason of death. But this man, because he continueth ever, hath an unchangeable priesthood. Again, emphasizing that it was passed from father to son. Christ was better because he was appointed as an oath from God. Aaron was succeeded by others, again, because he was weak. And the death of flesh stopped the priesthood, but it continued again from father to son. Yet Christ has and never will have any successors because he continueth forever. It is truly unchangeable. 25. Wherefore, such a wonderful verse. Wherefore, he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. That's who loves you. I would have done anything if that man could even have a glimpse of that. That is I am. That is Alpha Omega. That is the one that the handiwork is the universe that keeps expanding at an increasing rate. That is the one that is beyond all the powers. I appreciate Scott's message so much Sunday night. How he brought out again how Brother Hill used to talk about gravity and all of these things. Well, that doesn't concern God. It doesn't concern the Lord. He's above that. Principles that we say, well, they're fact. We have gravity, we have mass, we have all these things. Uh-uh. You're talking about somebody that it means nothing to. Uh-huh. And someday, by His grace, a body like His own to step into that. And you don't think you have anything around the corner? Oh, praise God. But it's a magnificent, magnificent piece of Scripture here. One of the paramount truths, really, of the Word of God. Christ's whole purpose is in us, you and me. Wherefore, because of those seven reasons that we pointed out earlier of the Christ priesthood being superior in every way, shape, and form, and will be forever, His salvation is as unsearchable. His salvation is as unsearchable as His love. People stop at salvation. His salvation is to the uttermost. We're going to touch upon this, Lord willing, tonight. The uttermost. Copley noted that the uttermost in the Greek means all completely, absolutely, all entirely, into perpetuity, and forevermore. Christ's salvation is all of Him and by Him and from the Father, and we only recognize in Christ, or only recognized in Christ by the Father. Any of our merit, anything of our flesh, anything that is done of us belittles Christ's victory. It truly does. How many times over and over through the Scriptures does He need to get through to us with this? Again, because our flesh wants to turn to bondage. It is weak. But the Spirit is willing. If we'll feed the Spirit the Word to give us faith, hallelujah, to enter into that. Christ is for us. He's always making intercession and He showers us with grace to supply faith for the race course. And this verse here is truly part of the Ephesians 3:20. And it's amazing. Let's turn over to Ephesians 3:20. And it's amazing to me, again, as I study this Hebrews, how many verses and really the text that we've gone to most often for reference is Ephesians. I'm beginning to see again why the affirmation of how many times our wonderful pastor went over Ephesians. It brings it all into place. What a love letter this is. But again, in Ephesians 3:20, it says, "Now unto Him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us." Again, as we were reading through this 25th verse, He is able also to save them to the uttermost that God came unto that come unto God by Him. The word uttermost contains all of those exceeding abundantly above. In the Greek, it means all of those. It's beyond. I always appreciate again, and I'll continue to remember it, I think, as long as I live, because it sometimes can just kind of sum it up for me. As I was talking to my little boy, Evan, when Brother Hill went to be with the Lord, and I was trying to explain to him how happy and wondrous and joyous and all of this that Brother Hill, you know, was experiencing and is experiencing now. And he says, "Oh, yeah, Dad, He's way." And I just love that. I said, "Yeah, Papa's way." Well, you know what? We can enjoy and enter into way right now with God. You know that? By claiming, believing, entering into that faith that He has for us is that way. Hallelujah. It is the uttermost and beyond. And notice it truly is according to the power that works in us. As we sit here tonight, we can be saved and filled, but yet what power are we really yielding to in our life? According to the power that works in us. Did you realize there's a power in you? Well, he said, "I don't feel like it." If we're going by feeling, we're never going to have that power, are we? Every time I use the word feeling, or usually I, it's down. But it's in Him. There's great power. And this isn't just something that, okay, well, that sounds great. And that's neat. Because, you know, the world says, well, access the power. And I was listening to one of these ladies that does very smart and intelligent about finances and things. I can't remember her name, but she was on TV. She's got all these books and all this time. I think, well, the power that lies within you, and you've got to access it and come out of your shell and grab this and be that. And I was thinking, wow, everybody's going to be a millionaire, you know, or something. That's how it kind of make you think. And that's not going to make you happy anyways. But there is power because of the new creation. And the greatest power I really believe that we can access is peace. It's been so running through my heart for myself as well as for so many of the people here. You know, whether it's body, whether it's mind, whether it's a situation of divorce, or kids, whatever it may be, God can give you peace. He can give you rest, because you're going to realize, as we read there in Hebrews, I believe it was the 4th chapter, that when we cease from our own works, that's when we'll enter into rest. Do you believe that? Do you really, really believe that? See, that's faith. We think we've got to take control, or we've got to take hold on it. That's what we're programmed to do. You turn on the TV and that's the positive thinking infomercials, from the Tony Tall guy to the pastor that's on the TV on Sunday morning. They're saying the same thing. Well, you've got to take this hold, and you've got to feel this way, and you've got to get that out of your life and get that into your life. And that's not what this says. That is not what the Word of God says. It says to rest in Me. When we're still, then we can know God. There could be so many things happening in our life. There could be defeats, challenges, whatever it may be. But know that He's encouraging my life towards a finished, joyous course. I pray you're thinking about this. Or it's just had it so on my heart. But this is the battle of the spirit versus the flesh. Christ has given us the new creation, and we are new in Him. We are alive evermore. We are sons of God. Now is the old man dead, and as the Word encourages, so reckon it so. Count it dead. Rejoice in who you are in Him. That's our life. That is our rest. That's our peace. Yielded, we grow in this power that gives us greater understanding and appreciation of the grace of God. This, even in Ephesians 3:19, since we're there, it says can even grow into the fullness of God and to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that ye might be filled with all. Just think of how the Bible does this. It didn't even say that you might be filled with the love of God. We're not even going to stop there. That you might be filled with all the love of God. This is exceeding abundantly above all that we could ask. And then there's things, it's just like when we're talking about the Word of God. I can think things and I can, you know, but I couldn't even tell you. So it's even like beyond the ask, it's beyond the tell. I just stand in awe again at the love and the just how awesome our God is. Copley urges us to drink of Christ. It's precious how he's pointed this out. For everything. Drink for everything. And that is the drink that will satisfy you, as the woman at the well. But it's, he said here, to drink for strength when we're fainting in spirit. To drink of courage when we're fearful. To drink of health when we're infirm. To drink of patience in the whirlwind. To drink of faith when we're in unbelief. And this so inspired me. And we talked about this on Sunday. And I'd like you to turn with me to the Psalm 116. And I want you to think. And I think I can even hear and see our wonderful pastor, as he used to read this over and over. And when he get those thoughts by the Lord, and I sense how the Lord does that with me, you just can't get rid of them. They just keep coming back on you. But what shall I render unto the Lord for all His benefits toward me? Oh, I will take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. And as he so eloquently would state and bring out and give us that picture, is that the Lord again giving you that cup of all the benefits. What can I render unto the Lord but to drink? And this is what Brother Copley was trying to point out to each one of us here and into his writings, was to drink of him for everything, for every need, that he's your all sufficiency. Everything. You start messing with things that you think you want to categorize God. I've heard people say that. Have you ever heard about people doing that? Well, I got to categorize my business with God. I got to categorize my relationship with my wife. And I got to categorize my friends. What are you talking about? Sounds like more busy work. And I don't need any more of that. It's kind of like as we were talking about that drama. I don't want that drama. I appreciate what my brother-in-law encouraged me one time so many years ago as I was getting in business and getting busier. He said, really, Jesse, says you get busy and how the enemy will accelerate it in your life. He says you really have to specifically uncomplicate your life. You got to say, hey, I got to take that out or do this or whatever. And there's a lot of truth to that. Where it really comes back to is the simplicity in the gospel. I do the things that He set before me. I get caught up in a lot of these things, the whirlwind of the world, and pull you in real fast. A lot of different ways. And it can be good things. But does it pull you away from the first love? Does it pull us away from the first love? Christ is coming. Lay aside every weight, it says, doesn't it? They say the sin that so easily besets us. And I'm starting to see even that sin of, like I say, of me, but even inside that sin is that so easily besets me, is that idol, that thing that gets my eyes off of Christ. That there would be nothing. I'm not trying to magnify us in any way. This isn't talking about Mr. Goody Two-Shoes. This is a love deal. That I truly am seeking Him in my life. That new creation that He's given me means everything. That I really see that is me. And it's the only thing that's going to be eternal. And all this stuff I'm messing around with in my life is vanity and vexation of spirit. It is. It is. Isn't it simple when we get it down to that base? Some of you might be saying, well, I don't know that. I know that. I hope you're not saying it like that. I hope you're saying, I know that. I've seen that. I've got that running through my life. That's victory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The uttermost. And as I was thinking about the uttermost too, I had to think about Revelation 3:10. Those Philadelphia saints where they are kept from the hour of temptation, kept from the tribulation. That's a saving to the uttermost. Is that what we're living for? I really believe. I appreciate Brother Hill, Brother Copley, all of them. Don't let it discourage you. I think it just encourages me. It's almost as good as if he came today. But I do believe he couldn't be much longer. I look at the things that are going on, as we've talked about many times. The fulfillment of the times is here. Oh, the wars, oh, the earthquakes, all the different things. It's here. Love of many's wax cold. Men are just puffed up so much anymore. It's sad, it hurts, but I'm excited because I know our times are coming. Hallelujah. But this is what the feasting on Christ. May we believe it, live it, rejoice, and prepare for His coming. Let's go over to the 26th. Sorry to look at my watch. I was looking up there and I think we just started church according to that clock. Okay, don't want to scare you. All right, 26 to the 28th verse. For such a high priest became us, who is holy, harmless. Oh, hallelujah, harmless, undefiled. I'm just so thankful that he's harmless to me. I mean, when you think what you're talking about here, just like in talking to that man, it's just again, just as the Lord just keeps it running through you, you're talking about all power. You know, I saw a picture the other day of Nagasaki and Hiroshima, the Enola Gay. They had that thing on the paper, or one of the papers that I got. They were showing the bomb and all of those things. And think of the awesome power in that. That's nothing. As Scott was talking about the sun, how hot that thing is. And they don't even know that, really. I was thinking how they like to think they do. They might go up there someday and say, well, it was so cold, it was hot. Now, you know what I'm talking about. Every time they see something and make a statement and say, well, if it's this way, you know, what's our wisdom to God? It's foolishness, isn't it? Remember that. Is anything hard for him? Is anything impossible? He just sets it there and it does it. He didn't have to think about it. Say, well, it has to be this hot and this and that. And he doesn't have to do that. They can go out there and think of how hot something is or how far something is away. They did that carbon dating, whatever, and somebody threw something in there and the carbon dating wasn't even right. So don't even get excited about that when somebody says, well, see, that proved that Christ was here. This proves that Christ was here. Through faith. Through faith. I remember growing up, I saw so many times remember they had the big thing about Noah's Ark. They found it on Mount Ararat or wherever it was. And you know, they started selling pieces of it and pieces of the cross. You know, they added up all the pieces of the cross they even found and sold. It would be like the biggest the state of New Jersey. It really would. But see, people get their eyes in that. Well, that was the garment Jesus wore, so I got to go touch it. Oh, it's a garment. Garment. That's where he was buried. He was buried. Great. I serve a risen Savior. Oh, hallelujah. That's what we serve. All powerful. And Christ in you, the hope of glory. Oh, man. I better stop. I better stop. Thank you, Lord. It is just so precious. Thank you, Lord, that we know this. But it said, I don't think I read through it. Sorry. For such an high priest became us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners. He's separate from sinners. He's not near sinners. But wait a second, you're in the throne room. Well, I sin. Yeah. But not unto God. Because you're a new creature. He's not separate from you. He's with you all the time. This is you. Know who you are. Oh, I pray this just, if you're down a little bit this week, let this just lift you up. And made higher than the heavens. See, the heavens can't even contain him. Who needeth not daily, as those high priests, to offer up sacrifice, first for his own sins and then for the people's. No, because he's perfect. For this he did once when he offered up himself. And he did it himself. Again, he had to give up the ghost. They couldn't even kill him. He had to want to die. For the law maketh men high priests which have infirmity. See, the law will always make you weak. The law will always make you weak. Get off your high horse. Get out of that. Quit judging your brother. Ye who are spiritual, restore him. Have compassion. But for the grace of God, there go I. Well, I don't go there because this Christian brother did such and such, or they treated me this way, or I don't like the way they handle how they do the church, or the monies, or whatever it may be. You go for the Word of God. And you pray. If there's something that's wrong with something, pray about it. Do you trust God to fix things? Or do you trust you to fix things? Oh, we need a committee. We need a committee. I don't want a committee. I don't want me either. Don't want me. We want Him. He's going to lead us. He's going to put it the way it needs to be. And if there's something that rubs you a little wrong, you know what? It needed to be. I'm not making an excuse for it. I pray that I can be an encouragement to you. I don't want to be abrasive. I want to love. I really do. I want to magnify the love of God in my life. I believe all of us here do tonight. You want that in your life. But there's going to be times that we're going to rub each other. We're going to cut each other. As our pastor brought out so many times in that cutting. Oh, that cutting is for the final. I got to be cut down to fit that dress. No matter what you may think of yourself and how good you weren't born to fit it. There's a cutting. And know when you're tried, it's more precious than gold. And that's part of the trimming away to fit the dress. to fit the dress. Okay. So it said it became us in the 26. We need this. That's what it's saying there. Oh, we needed this. Reconciled to God. Safe in Jesus. Now He is holy. He's sinless. And He has none of even sin's nature at all. But yet He's the compassionate. And as it said here, that He's the harmless Lamb of God. Gentle, kind, long-suffering, tender, and loving. Again, that person had said to me, well, if there was a hell, and you've heard this many times, well, how could a loving God send anyone to hell? Because He's going to glorify and He's going to magnify His Son. And if you really think that through, it's the truth. He is going to let everybody know that we loved Him. Isn't He? Isn't that what it says? I'm going to let them know that I loved you. Oh, yes. He's going to let them know. But those that didn't accept Him, there has to be a judgment. In order for the glorifying to really take place, there has to be a punishment to that. And it will glorify. The Lord doesn't want anybody to perish. He said He didn't. He sent His Son to the world because He loved everyone. Not a respecter of persons. No matter where they live, no matter where they were born or anything. He even says those wonderful four living ones that are the bride of Christ. They're out of every kindred, tongue, and nation. Go look up what that means. It's not just exclusive to Living Waters Tabernacle. And we're all not going to be in it. But by the grace of God, we attain. Amen? Amen. And I pray we are. I pray that the Lord does such a mighty work in us. Thank You, Lord. But He was undefiled, yet He took the guilt and shame of our sin. Think about what the Lord did for you. Yet He was never involved in the fault, but yet He rose up on high for us, didn't He? Hallelujah. 27, it says, Aaron had to offer over and over again the people as well as for himself, but not Jesus. He did it once. It is finished. The foundation, as we said, was laid. The veil was rent in twain. We are accepted in the Beloved. And how could we ever say thank You enough for that? That's where it says thankful in all things. You are accepted in the Beloved. Think of how many promises throughout Hebrews. It is a wonderful, wonderful love story, isn't it? Of all the way through. And it just keeps getting better and better and better as we read through it. I pray it gets more exciting to you as well, too. It is so sweet. And He says to us, just believe, doesn't He? It so pleases Me to see you live the riches of My promises. Prosper in My faith. See, the law makes the weak, makes it incomplete, and it makes the never finishing priest. The law will never allow growth in our lives. It only stunts and even kills the spiritual. And the Father will never acknowledge self-merit or flesh. Understand that. The Father will never acknowledge self-merit or flesh. Only in His Son does He acknowledge. And that's the gift that was given to us, the new creation, when we believed. It was free. It was free. It was grace. The Holy Spirit, let's go on. He only leads us in and to Christ. And He will actually flee. He'll flee from us when we are approaching it in self and self-merit. He's not going to have anything to do with that. But the word of oath, the promise, magnify the grace of God, Jesus, who is consecrated, perfect, altogether lovely. And again, as Colossians 1:27 says, Christ in you. Christ in you. That's what we're after. Again, that's what that message Sunday was so on my heart about. The selflessness. Neither do I count my life dear unto myself. This is the Christ in you. He wants to give you value. He wants to give you precious stone. He wants you to realize how precious and valuable each and every one of His children are to Him. There's a body, and everyone will have its place in that body that is of the family of God. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Amen? Amen. I think the time's got us, so we'll stop there, and Lord willing, and we'll get in the 8th chapter next week. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you again for this time. Thank you again for your good word. And Lord, again, we just ask that through your Holy Spirit, that you allow it to work effectually in us. We thank you for these hearts, Lord. Inspire and, again, just encourage our life. Lord, quicken us in you. Don't let us go by feeling. Do not let us go by feeling. Let us understand when you have us in a quiet place, in a barren place to our eyes, that is when the greatest fruit can be. Oh, developed all through us, Lord. Let us trust. Help us to stand on the promises that you have given for us by faith to believe it in your grace. In Jesus' name, amen.